What a wonderful day to be able to get out in the chilly weather, come together to worship God, sing praise to Him, offer up our prayers, and open His Word and study to see what God would have us to know about Him, know about us, how we can please Him, serve Him, and know about the future reward of the faithful, and also to warn us about the future condemnation of the wicked. The Bible deals with all of those things. I've mentioned before, I think I might have even mentioned it last Sunday, so forgive me for being repetitive, but I've often thought when I pass by these hand readers, palm readers. There was one there in Watson Chapel, and I drove by it every day. And I often thought I would really like to stop in there and tell her future. Because she needed to know about it. You need to know about your future. There is a day of judgment that's coming. And in order to face that day in a way that we'll hear from God, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord, we're going to have to live a certain way. We're going to have to submit to Him and please Him. And all the instructions are found here in the manual, the Bible. And so we need to submit to God. We often think about the future, but we don't so much think about the spiritual consequences, sadly. At least many don't. We need to think about that. We need to make all of our plans for each and every day in view of how they are going to affect our standing before God today and on the day of judgment. How will our actions, our choices, affect our relationship with God? I ask you to turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. And in this text, James is dealing, we're talking about some merchants who decided, we're going to go and we're going to do such and such and receive such and such. They're planning their future. But they're leaving someone very important out of their plans. Now, it's not wrong to plan for the future. In fact, it's absolutely necessary. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. It's very important that we make plans. And it's not that we are just to make plans about spiritual things. I think it's important that we make plans about our material things. I think it's very important. Plan for retirement. Lay up for your children. Lay up for your parents. We need to plan for the future. We need to save our money. We need to think about that so that we do not become a burden on others. But all of that planning that we do regarding material things, we also, and most importantly, we need to remember the spiritual consequences and put those things first in every plan we make. It's not wrong to plan for the future, but God must be included in all of our plans. God's will must be included in all of our plans. And I'll tell you something else. We may make all the plans, we get it all planned out in our minds, how this is going to work. How many of you have done that? You've made all these plans, and how many times has everything gone just like you planned it to go? How often does that happen? It doesn't happen very often with me. Every once in a while it does. But not very often. So, we need to plan for the future. Oh, planning for college, plans for a career, plans for marriage, plans for family, plans for vacation. Nothing wrong with making plans. Plans for retirement. But God must be involved in every one of these things. Planning for college, I'll tell you what, college is a dangerous time of year or a life. It's very dangerous. Ashton is going to college. Very proud of him. But he's in for some difficult times. He's probably already experienced some of that. He needs to associate himself with good people. He needs to continue to worship the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart he'll do that. But there are many dangers. And Ashton is very aware of those. We all need to be aware of those. And in making our plans, we need to plan with God involved and with commitment and resolution and determination to continue to serve and please God. We need to make up our minds beforehand that we're going to serve God. We're going to be committed to Him. And whatever happens, God is going to be served. We need to do that. What about church growth? We need to make plans about church growth. Now, the truth of the matter is we don't have a lot of control over the growth of the church. We don't. We don't have a lot of control over it. We're to do our work. We're to plant the seed. But who is it that gives the increase? God gives the increase. But we do have some control in this area. What if we don't do our work? What if we don't do our work? Well, we need to be busy doing our work. And then the church growth will take care of itself. God will give the increase. Now, it may not be numerically, but it will definitely be spiritually. God will give the increase. So there's nothing wrong with making plans, but we need to make sure that our plans are centered around God's will. Centered around pleasing and serving Him. We need to understand the limit of our control over the future. That's something that James makes very clear in our context that we're going to be looking at in just a moment. We need to make sure that we understand it. We do not have control over the future. We don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day, the next 5 minutes. We don't know. God's will needs to be considered in all of our plans. Okay. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this. We shall live and do this or that. But now, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Planning our future. James makes some points I want to try to bring out in the lesson this morning. First of all, we see there's a problem with self-confidence with these individuals, these merchants. They've made up their mind they're going to go do this and that in such a city, and this is going to be the result. They're awfully confident in themselves. What James is saying to us, what God is saying to us is, we need to be very careful about the self-confidence that we have. And something else, we need to recognize that we are completely outside of the realm of controlling our future as far as the external circumstances are concerned. We don't know what's going to happen. They seem to take it upon themselves to determine all of that, but God's saying, you better be careful in how you plan. You need to realize things don't always work out like you expect. And the right perspective on plan. We need to remember that God is the one that's in charge, not us. And look at things from a spiritual perspective. Bought a book, mentioned it last week. Told you about one of the authors, or the co-authors of the book. His son was killed tragically in an automobile accident on his way back to college during the holidays. And he deals with many life stories, real life stories in this book about a tragedy, a heartache, disappointment. He said he had a preacher friend that wrote to him and tried to, while he was going through his own personal tragedy, trying to explain, because many times what we do is we ask God, why this and why that? Why did you let this happen to me? And instead of backing away from it and seeing, being able to see the big picture, it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to see the big picture. God sees the big picture. Very difficult for us. So we need the right perspective on our plan. And it is arrogant to make plans without considering God's will. That's evil, in fact. You make these plans in your arrogance. It is evil. And don't procrastinate. Let's take advantage of today. Okay, I told you what I'm going to tell you. Now let me tell you again. These merchants, they're planning this trip. And what do? They, first of all, they planned a time to start. Look again at verse 13. They planned a time to start. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go such and such city. Today or tomorrow, we're going to do this. And then they planned a place to trade. We're going to go to that city because we feel like we can make a bunch of money there. And we're going to spend a whole year there, and we're going to get filthy rich. That's our plan. And we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make profit. So they planned the time to start, they planned the place to trade, they planned how long the venture would last, they planned their activities while they were there, what they were going to do, and then they planned the results. What does God say about that? Their sin was not in planning for the future per se, but leaving God out of their plan. We're going to do all these things, but they forgot to understand. They weren't in control. Look at verse 15 again. It says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord wills. Keeping that perspective. Planning that takes God's will prayerfully into consideration is not wrong, and in fact, necessary. Every plan that we make, we need to remember, we're not in control, but if God wills, we'll do this or that. We need to prayerfully consider God's will for our life. But planning is absolutely necessary. It's foolish not to plan. Acts 15:36, Acts 18:20-21, 1 Corinthians 16:5-9, all those passages talk about plans that Paul made. Paul made plans. But he also recognized, in fact he said, but Satan hindered us. Paul made plans. If the Lord wills, we will come see you. If the Lord permits, we will come to see you. We wanted to come see you, but Satan hindered us. Satan's involved in this too. The world is involved in things going awry, going wrong. Problems come up because of terrible people in the world. So our plans are very suspect to external circumstances that we have absolutely no control over. So whenever we plan, we need to petition God to seek His will for our life. How can we know God's will? Well, we can open a Bible, we can read, we can study, and learn, and follow what He says. 2 Timothy 2:15, giving all diligence. Give diligence. Study to show yourself approved. Or give all diligence to show yourself approved. The New King James Version. King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but handling aright the word of truth. Well, we need to give diligence to the Word of God, so that we can know where we stand with God. Matthew 6:33, we need to seek the kingdom of God first. If we put God's will first in our life, then we will strive to understand what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. And may I suggest to you that sometimes things are not always just black and white. It's not a matter of right or wrong sometimes, it's a matter of wise and unwise. You know it? This is a wise thing to do. I ought to do this because it's wise. Oh, it may not be sin that's keeping me from doing it, but it's just an unwise thing, so I'm not going to do that. We need to think in terms of wisdom. What are the consequences going to be? Where could this lead me? Could it lead me away from God, or will it lead me closer to God? So wisdom. James 1:5 says, pray for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. So let us ask God for wisdom. Let us seek out His Word. And let us submit to His will in all things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The Scripture here says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, the things in the context are the things of the spiritual nature, things, the blessings, spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. These things are working together for our good. We'll be blessed. Maybe not with money, maybe not with prestige or honor from this world? Probably not. But we will be blessed spiritually. Now that's a certainty. If we love God, we're called according to His will. That is, we submit to His will and we follow Him. So, how can we know God's will in all of these areas? Well, we need to study God's Word. Those who study His Word, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, talks about the power of the Word. Hebrews 5 and verse 12 talks about how there were those who should have been teachers, but yet they were not. Why? Because they were babes. They had not fully matured by feeding upon God's Word. And therefore, in verse 14, therefore, if we feed on God's Word like we should, we'll be able to discern between good and bad, right and wrong. So we need to study God's Word and know what's good and right and submit to God's wisdom and seek His guidance in our life. Now, the lack of knowledge of control. We all, I think, know this in our mind. We realize it, but sometimes we just don't act like it. We make our plans for college, our plans for marriage, our plans for family, and we make all these plans. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Tragedy may strike. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Someone may leave the Lord. Someone may do something that completely destroys or upsets all of your plans for your life. You never know. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, Proverbs 27 and verse 1, in fact, there are several passages here in Proverbs that deal with this. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. We have no idea. Luke 12. This was read a little earlier. Luke 12, verses 19 and 20. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now what was this guy doing? He was making plans. He's going to build himself bigger barns. He had made such an increase that he was going to build himself bigger barns so that he could store all of his increase. And he was going to sit back, take it easy for the rest of his life. He's going to eat, drink, and be merry. What did God call him? What did God call him? A fool. Thou fool. God said unto him, verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose will all these things be? We need to realize we don't have control over today or tomorrow as far as the external circumstances of what might happen to us. We have no control over that. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, today is the day of salvation. We have control over today from our response to God and how we submit to His will right now, today. Live for Him. Commit your life to Him. Devote your life to Him. Do that today and tomorrow. And I'll tell you something. You do that. You continue to live that way with faith and trust in God. Then I'll tell you this, when storms do come, because they will, when heartaches come, when tragedy strikes, they will. Let me tell you something. Then, if you've devoted your life to the Lord, you'll be leaning upon the rock and those things will not destroy you. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We'd better be holding on to something that's steadfast, that never changes. We'd better be building our life upon the rock instead of upon the sand. Because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. And we need to be holding on to one who never changes, who will always be there. We cannot control what happens. Life itself is uncertain. Friend, you may not be here tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. Life is uncertain. The passage here says that life is frail. What is life? It's a vapor. Now, what is more frail than a vapor? A little puff of wind, and what happens to the vapor? It just scatters everywhere. Life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then it's gone. Psalms 39, verse 5. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will get them. We are but a vapor, a shadow. Life is frail. James 1, 10 and 11, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner than the sun has risen with a burning heat than it withers to the grass, its flower fails, and its beauty, full appearance, perishes. Even the rich men, James says, just but a flower, appears for a little while, vanishes away. Life is frail. Life is brief. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Life is brief. Job 9:25, now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away, they see no good, they pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. Life is short. The older I get, the more I understand what I've been told. I've heard other people say all my life. People older than me, I've always heard them say, you know, time passes faster as you get older. That's true. Young couples that are here this morning, young people, listen to me. You'll be 45, you'll be 50 before you know it. Lord willing. Life is short. We need to emphasize, we need to take advantage of today. Take advantage of the opportunity that we have today. Begin our growth in God and serving Him. Submission to Him. Job 14, verse 1. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's short and it's full of trouble. Hardship. Disappointments. Heartache. Life is short. So, this world is coming to an end. That's a fact. All that is in the world is coming to an end. How are we going to live today? That's the question. Now, let's talk a little bit about the right perspective on planning. Verse 15. Now, those who make plans like they should, they will always insert, at least in thought, they may not express it verbally, but at least in thought, they're going to think, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. Now, I don't believe in the Calvinistic idea of the sovereignty of God and that He pushes every button, every decision is already foreordained before the foundation of the world. So everything that happens, it happens because God foreordained it to happen. He willed it to happen. Thus, that's what happens. I don't believe in that. I believe that God is in control and that there's absolutely nothing that takes place that He does not allow to happen. But He doesn't flip every switch. He doesn't push every button. There are other things involved. There's the free will of man that's involved. God created man, put them on the earth, gave them instructions, and they broke those instructions. Because of their free will, because that sin entered the world, bad stuff entered the world. And there's a battle going on between good and evil. God is permitting the bad to take place because man willed it to be so. Man sinned. Man continues to sin. Satan is also involved. He wants to destroy the creation of God, all that is good. There's a battle going on. And we need to realize that God is in control, and ultimately when the dust settles, God is going to be victorious, and those who serve Him will be with Him forever and ever in heaven, and those who do not will be cast into hell. But right now there's a battle going on. And let me tell you something, when your loved one dies, I hear this all the time, and I suspect you have too. Well, the Lord just decided to take them. Friend, I don't think that God is pushing every button. He's not, well, I think it's time for them to go and yank them up. That's not the way it works. Bad things happen in life. Tragedy happens in life. And what happens is oftentimes we take that view, well, God decided it's time for them to go and He plucks them up. And they blame God for it. Is God the reason why death exists? Is God the reason why tragedy exists? I think many people have a wrong view of that, and it causes a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. And it causes people to doubt God's goodness, God's faithfulness. And again, we need the big picture. We need to be able to step out, and we need to see that in the woven threads of time, there's a lot more in it than just you and me. And God is looking at the big picture, and He's got an end result in mind. That's going to be fulfilled. No question about it. But when we're looking at things in life, we need to look at them, number one, contingent upon God's approval. When we're making plans, those plans need to be contingent upon God's approval. Are they according to His authority?
Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
So it needs to be by His authority. In accordance with His will. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that point again is made. We need to make sure that we're doing what God would have us do, that we are pleasing to Him. We need to pray and we need to focus on serving the Lord. And we need to do all these things with the goal to simply please God. Friend, I hope that that's your aim in life. In fact, if you're godly, that is your aim in life. That's what godliness is. I mean, you are focused on pleasing God. You don't want to upset God. You don't want to disappoint God. You want to please God. Also contingent on God's plan. And there are some things about God's plan that we do not know. Okay? Deuteronomy 29:29, those things that are revealed are for us. But the secret things belong to the Lord. There are some things we don't know. God has chosen not to tell us in His ultimate wisdom. But there are many things He did tell us. And by the way, when you look at it, you think about history. Listen to me. Jesus Christ came to this earth and God permitted Him to be persecuted, tried in a phony court, and nailed to a cross. God permitted that. That was in accordance with His plan. But the Scripture also says that those who did those things were not pleasing, did not please God. It was in accordance with His plan, but it was not pleasing to God. So we need to seek that we please God. And then we also live in harmony with His plan. Now, we may not know what that plan is, but we do know this about the plan, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So just keep on serving God. Keep striving to please Him in your life. Then all things will work together for good. God sent His Son to die on the cross so that we could be saved. God's plan. Let's live in accordance with God's plan. Now, also contingent upon God's permission. Not everything is right or wrong, black or white. There are areas, Romans chapter 14 deals with this. There are areas of judgment and conscience that come into play. Even though something may be right in and of itself, if I believe it's wrong and I do it anyway, James said, or Paul says, I'm a sinner. It may be right in and of itself. And we need to consider wisdom. We need to consider God's permission. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7, "For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a little while with you, if the Lord permits." If He gives permission. In Job 1, 6 through 12, Job is a righteous man. Satan approaches God and accuses Job that he's just trusting you, God, because you've blessed him in his life. He says, if you allow me to touch him, he'll curse you. So God permitted it. God didn't do the devastation to Job. He permitted it to test Job. And Satan did the damage. Now, what did Job lose? He lost his servants. He lost his flocks, his riches, his wealth, and his family. 10 children all at once. God permitted it. Did Job blame God? No. Job said he came into this world naked, and he'll leave naked. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to realize that God allows things to happen. And we need to be ready and flexible enough to deal with things as they happen in life. And the only way that we're able to do that is continually trust God. Because as you think about the rest of Job's life, how did it turn out in the end? How did it turn out? He was blessed abundantly, a lot more than what he had to begin with, and 10 more children. Planning without God is boastful and arrogant. Just briefly, I think we all understand this point. I'm not going to spend any time on it really. To plan without taking into account God's will is putting ourselves above God. We're putting ourselves in a position of power and authority that we simply do not have. Instead of trusting God and depending upon God, then we are being arrogant. Psalm 52 and verse 7. We're boastful, we're proud. Such boasting, James says, is evil. That's what the Israelites were doing according to Isaiah 47, verses 7 through 10. They were making their plans, they were worshiping their false gods, and they were planning on surviving the approaching armies without God's help. That's arrogance, to think that you can fight against God. But that's exactly what they were doing. So, I want you to look now and think about the main point of all of this. What's the main point? Okay, make plans, yes. But make plans and make sure that you include this idea, if God wills. And make sure that your plans are in harmony with what God wants, what pleases God, and in accordance with His plan. And then understand this today. Look again. Look at verse 17. "Therefore let him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." What about today? Today or tomorrow we're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to buy and sell. And we're going to stay there a year, and we're going to make a lot of money. Without focusing on serving God today. We need to focus on serving God today. Today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. We need to study our Bible. How many of you read your Bible like you should? I know that things come up every day, things that that steal your time. Time is a very important commodity.
And we all have less and less of it seemingly as days go by.
But friend, we've got to include into our daily schedule studying God's Word.
Isn't that a good thing to do? He that knows to do good and does not do it, what is it?
We know we ought to read our Bible. We know we ought to study it.
Now, I know that there are sometimes things that come up in a day that you're hindered.
Catch up. We need to be busy studying our Bible
and doing what we can
to understand more about God's Word. Attend every service possible.
We need to take advantage of the opportunities when they arise. Today is an opportunity. You took advantage of an opportunity to be here this morning. Today, you made, I think, I hope, a wise choice for you. There are some, and I wish they could hear me, there were some who made the wrong choice. They didn't take advantage of the opportunity. And they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, which simply may be nothing. They could be here, but they've chosen not to. There are some that did not have a choice. That choice was removed from them by circumstances. They couldn't be here, but their heart's here. Have nothing against, no problem with that. God doesn't have a problem. But what if we simply choose not to come? He that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Visit the sick. If I were to ask for a show of hands for everyone who felt like they were not visiting the sick like they should, I suspect that most of us would have to raise our hands. And we look, again, time is short. Everyone's busy. We've got duties and responsibilities. And perhaps our heart is in it and we would like to, but we just haven't had the opportunity to do it like we would like. That's very possible. But myself and you, we all have to make time to do that. These are individuals who are hurting. They're in need of support and encouragement. And they need it. They need it from as many of us as possibly can to do that. If I have an opportunity and I don't, and I know that I ought to, but I do something else that's much less important, and I put them on the back burner, what have I done? Giving. We're limited again by our resources, but we need to give like that poor widow. She gave that one mite. But the Lord said that she gave more than them all because she gave what she could. We need to take advantage of the day. He that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We need to give what we can give. We need to give what we can give to the Lord and to His work. Personal work. I suspect we all have friends. We all have those close to us that we have not talked to about the gospel. Now, you know this passage, James chapter 4, verse 17, when you really start breaking it down and thinking about it, it scares you a little bit, doesn't it? We need to constantly pray, and we need to think about serving God. And again, I'll say this, if our heart is in it, if we're wanting to do what's right and please God every day, then we're going to do what we can. We're going to be limited. All of us are. But when we have opportunities and we neglect to take advantage of those opportunities, this passage says that's sin. Personally. He that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Pray. Pray without ceasing. And just like all these other things, I mean, praying is not something you do 24/7, 365. The idea is that's your habit of life. And when you have opportunity, when the need arises, you pray. That's your habit of life. Is that your habit of life? Is it good to pray? Have you forsaken prayer? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. If I have ability and I have an opportunity to exercise that ability, there's responsibility there. What if I neglect that? I have failed. That's what James is saying. He that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Planning our future, friend, begins with today. It begins with living today for God. Living then, if God blesses us with another one, live that day for God. And if God blesses us with yet another one, live that day for God. And so on, so forth. Nothing wrong with trying to look out into the future and make wise investment choices and planning things. But always understand this. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Our plans may get blown to bits. More than likely they will. We need to live for today. Live for God. Set your life firmly upon the rock of Jesus Christ and upon His Word. And whatever comes, whatever storms of life come upon you, friend, let me tell you, then you'll be able to withstand the storm. You'll endure it. And you'll be glad you did. The problem with self-confidence, many people have that problem. But they, just like us, can't control the future. We don't know what's happening tomorrow, and we can't control it. We need to have the right perspective on our planning, and we need to refrain, seriously, refrain from the planning that is arrogant. And we need to take advantage of today while it's called today. Today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed it tomorrow. Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Take advantage of today. Obey Jesus. We're told to repent. We're told to confess our faith in Christ. And by faith, we're told to be buried with Him in baptism. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. Start today off right. Start this new year off right. Become a Christian. And live for the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. And maybe you're here this morning and you failed to do that. You've fallen aside. Listen to me. You need to start today. Get back on track. Get up. Commit today to the Lord. And commit the rest of your life to the Lord. And serve Him faithfully, beginning today. And in the future, if you stumble again, we don't know what's going to happen. We may stumble again tomorrow. Get back up. And live that day for the Lord. If you're here, if we can help you in any way, we plead with you. Won't you come at the stand?